Night of the Cooters by Howard Waldrop. This story is in memory of Slim Pickens.
Some later called it the hottest Thursday in the history of Texas. Sheriff Bertram Lindley was sitting on the two-holer out behind the jail having a drink. He was 15 years old, buck naked, and as an Aztec boy was being presented to Moctezuma in preparation for playing a ball game for the gods. He felt very proud to be captain of his team until the officials said that whichever team won would be treated well and then presented to the people in a delicious manner.
Bert! Bert!
What? Oh, God dang.
Dang it, sweets. I told you never to bother me in there. You woke me out of one hell of a dream.
Sorry, Sheriff.
He began to tell his deputy about the dream, the ball game, and the final revelation.
I was going to be paraded around and given women and food and stuff like that. And then tomorrow a.m. they was going to be cut up and simmered real slow and served up with chilies and onions and tomatoes.
Holy!
Well, you never seen such a fight as broke out then. They was a yelling and a priest was swinging a cross and spears and axes were flying around like it was an Irish funeral. Next thing I know, you're banging on the door and waking me up and bringing me back to Pachuco County. What the hell do you want?
Oh, Mr. Despain wants you to come over to his place right away.
He does, huh?
That's right, Sheriff. He says he got some miscreants. He wants you to arrest.
Oh, everybody else around here has desperados. Despain has miscreants. I'll be so dang glad when they move to city limits 50 foot the other side of his place, I won't know what to do. Every time everybody burps too loud, he calls me. All right, come on.
As Sheriff Lindley and Deputy Sweets entered the office, four deputies rocked forward respectfully and watched as the sheriff went to the hat pegs. On one of the dowels was a sweat-stained hat with turned-down points at front and back. Under the hat was a holster with a Navy Colt 41 that looked like someone had used it to drive railroad spikes all the way to the Continental Divide. On the other peg was an immaculate new round-top Stetson of brown felt with a snakeskin band half as wide as a fingernail running around it. When Lindley picked up the new Stetson, the deputies relaxed, rocked back in their chairs, and resumed yakking.
Hey, sweet, change the calendar on your desk. It ain't Wednesday, August 17th, it's the 18th.
Sure thing, Sheriff.
And you boys, try not to play checkers so loud you wake the judge up, okay?
Sure thing, Sheriff.
As the sheriff went down the courthouse steps, he passed the two courthouse cannons they fired off three times a year. March 2nd, July 4th, and Robert E. Lee's birthday. Each cannon had a pyramid of ornamental cannonballs in front of it. Waves of heat came off the cannons, the ammunition, the telegraph wires overhead, and in the distance, the rails of the twice-a-day spur line from Waxahachie. From the limpness of the 45-star United States flag on its stanchion, you couldn't tell the nation was about to go to war with Spain over Cuba, that China was full of unrest, and that 5,000 miles away, a crazy German count was making airships. The sheriff's wagon horse seemed asleep as it trotted, head hanging down. Those few people on the street moved like molasses, and only from shade to shade. The sheriff licked his big, droopy mustache and leaned back in the wagon seat, straightening his bad leg, a Yankee souvenir, against the boot board. He was too hot to reach up and flick the dust off his new hat.
Oh, there, boy.
There were two raggedy town boys sitting on the edge of the well behind Despain's ranch house. One of them had been crying. Despain was hot and bothered, and he was pointing a rifle with a barrel big as a drain pipe at the two boys.
Here they are, Sheriff. My man Luther saw them stealing my peaches, but he wouldn't tell me. I knew something was up when he didn't put my clothes in the usual place next to the window where I like to dress. So I looked out and saw them. They had half a potato sack full by the time I crept around the house and caught them. I want you to charge him with trespass and thievery.
Well, well, you want me to charge Luther with collusion and abetting a crime?
No, I've told him time and time again he's too soft. If this happens again, I'll hire another boy who'll watch my orchard. With buckshot, if need be.
Get in the wagon, boys. I'll throw them in the Who's Gatto and have Sweets run the papers by your office tomorrow morning.
I wish you'd just quietly flail the tar out of them to teach them about poppity rags.
Sheriff Lindley looked up at the big ranch house.
This county.
I don't doubt that. And you got 16 months, 3 weeks, and 2 days to find somebody else to run against me. Good evening, Mr. Despain. Now, Jody, Billy Roy, you're the dumbest pair of squirts that ever lived in Chepachuco County. First off, half those peaches were still green. You'd have got belly aches, and your mother would have beaten you within a half an inch of your life and given you so many doses of black draft you'd have been bent over 10-rail fences all week. Now listen to what I'm saying, because I'm only going to say it once. If I ever hear of either of you stealing anything anywhere in this county, I'm going to put you both in school.
No, Sheriff, don't do that.
I'll have you in there every day for 7 long hours. And I'll have the judge keeping you there till you're 12 years old. And if you try to run away, I'll get Joe Sweeper's bloodhounds, and I'll bring you back. Now you get home. Elsie, there's a little bit here in the Waco paper all the way from London, England, about there being explosions on Mars 10 nights in a row last month, and wondering whether it was a sign of life or just volcanoes going off.
That's nice. Would you like another piece of pie, dear?
Oh, no, thanks, Elsie. I gotta be getting back.
Goodness sakes, what can that be?
I expect that's Elmer out by the creek. He came in last week and asked if he could blast on his place. I told him it didn't matter to me so long as he did it between sunup and sundown and didn't blow his whole family up.
Oh, that was good of you, Bertram.
Jake down at the Mercantile said Elmer brought enough dynamite to blow up Fort Worth if he'd a mind to. Jake had to reorder for stump blowing time.
Whatever could he want with all that much?
Oh, you remember that old mine that played out back in 83? Well, that dumb fool has idea the vein might start up again on his property. He got to talking with the Smith boy. What's his name?
Leo?
Yeah, Leo, the one that studies down in Austin, learns about stars and rocks and all that stuff. He must have put a bug up Elmer's butt about that.
Bertram.
Hell, anyway. I guess Elmer blowed a side off his hill and burned his house before he's through.
Sheriff! Sheriff!
Now what? Oh, what? Jenny Atkinson, what's all the hoorah?
Sheriff, something fell on our pasture, tore it all to hell, knocked down the tree, killed some of our cattle. Tommy can't find his dog.
Hold on. Something fell on your place? Like what?
I don't know. Like a big rock, only sparks was flying off it, and it roared and blew up. It's at the north end of the place.
Okay. Hold on, Jenny. Elsie, run over and get Sweets and the boys. Have them go get Leo Smith if he ain't going back to college yet. Sounds to me like Pachuco County's got its first shooting star. Hold on, Jenny. I'm coming right along. We'll take my wagon. You can leave your pony here.
Oh, hurry, Sheriff. It's big. It killed our cattle and tore up the fences.
Well, I can't arrest it for that. And I thought Elmer'd blowed himself up. My, I ain't never seen a shooting star before.
The Atkinson place used to have a sizable hill and the tallest tree in the county on it. Now it had half a hill and a big stump, and beyond that a huge crater. Dirt had been thrown up in a 10-foot-high pile around it. There was a huge, rounded gray object buried in the dirt and torn caliche at the bottom. Waves of heat rose from it, and gray ash fell off it into the shimmering heat.
Oh, damn, if it don't look like somebody threw a locomotive through here.
Half the town was riding out in wagons and on horseback as the news spread. The closest neighbors were walking over in the twilight.
Well, so that's what a meteor looks like.
Hello, Sheriff.
Oh, howdy, Leo. I figured you'd be here sooner or later.
It's still too hot to touch. There's part of a cow buried under the back end.
Boy, you Atkinson folks is dang lucky. That thing could have come down smack on your house. Or what's worse, your barn. What time did it fall?
Straight up and down 6 o'clock. We was sitting down to supper. I saw it out of the corner of my eye. Then all tarnation came down. Rocks must have been falling for 10 minutes.
It was pretty spectacular, Sheriff. I'm going into town to telegraph the professors at the university. They'll sure want to look at this.
Any reason other than general curiosity?
Well, I've only seen pictures and handled little bitty parts of one, but it don't look normal. They're generally like big rocks, all stone or iron, but the outside of this one's soft and crumbly, ashy too.
Well, you can come back into town with me if you want to. Hey, Sweets, a couple of you boys better stay here tonight. Keep people from falling in the hole. Eh, I guess if Leo's gonna wire the university, better keep people from knocking chunks off it, too. If I was Atkinson's, I'd start charging a nickel a look.
Sure thing, Sheriff.
I'll be out here early tomorrow morning to take another gander. I gotta serve a process paper on old Theobald before he lights out for his chores.
The sheriff noticed a new smell in the air as he rode toward the Atkinson Ranch by the South Road early the next morning. There was an odor like when something goes wrong at the telegraph office. Smoke was curling up from the pasture.
Maybe there's a scrub fire started from that shooting star.
When he topped the last rise, he saw before him devastation the likes of which he hadn't seen since the retreat from Atlanta.
Great God Almighty!
There were dead horses and charred wagons all around. The ranch house was untouched, but the barn was burned to the ground. There were crisscrossed lines of burnt grass that looked like they'd been painted with a tar brush. He saw no bodies anywhere.
Sweets! Luke! Is anybody here? What happened?
There was a shiny rod sticking out of the crater, with something round on the end. From where he stood, it looked like one of those carnival acts where a guy spins a plate on the end of a dowel rod. Only this glinted like metal in the early sun. As he watched, a small cloud of green steam rose above it from the pit.
Sheriff, look out!
Sweets?
Bert, go back!
What the hell happened here?
The sheriff's horse exploded under him.
Yahoo!
Watch it, Sheriff, your boat's on fire!
Sweets, what the ding-dong is going on?
God damn, Bert, I don't know. We was out here all night. It was a regular party. Most of the time we was up on the lip there. Maybe 30 or 40 people a-coming and a-going all the time. And then we heard something about an hour ago. We looked down, and I'll be damned if the whole top of that thing didn't come off like a mason jar.
And you just stood there?
Well, yeah. We was watching, and these damn things started coming out. They looked like big old leather balls, big as horses, with snakes all out the front.
What?
Well, snakes, yeah, the tentacles, Leo called them, you know, like an octopus. Leo come back from town and was here when them boogers came out. Martians, he said they was. Things from Mars. They had a big old eyes, big as your head. Everybody was a-pushing and a-shoving. Then one of them pulled out one of them gun things real slow-like, and he just started burning up everything in sight. Horses, dogs, anything they could see. Fire was everywhere.
Where's Leo now?
Over that way, west. We watched a while, then Leo and some others got away up the draw. He was going to telegraph the university about it, and then they was going to warn people. Anyway, soon as them things saw people was getting away, they got mad as hornets. That's when they lit up the Atkinson's barn.
Well, this just won't do. These things done attacked citizens in my jurisdiction, and they blowed up my horse.
Man, whoa, that's what I call a real smoke pool.
Luke, be real careful and get back to town and get the posse up. Telegraph the Rangers and tell them to burn leather getting here. And then get a hold of Skip Whitworth and have him bring out the gun.
Skip Whitworth had been a sniper in the War for Southern Independence when he had been in his 20s. He had once shot at a Yankee general just as the officer was bringing a forkful of beans up to his mouth. When the fork got there, there was only some shoulders and a gullet for the beans to drop into. That had been from a mile and a half away and 60 feet up a pine tree. The 6-foot rifle he pulled from its case was an 80 caliber octagonal barrel breech loader that used 2.5 ounces of powder and a percussion cap the size of a jawbreaker for each shot. It had a telescopic sight running the entire length of the barrel.
Now, Skip, they're using that thing on the end of that stick to watch us. I had Sweets jump around, and every time he did, one of those cooters would come up with that fire gun and give us what for.
Well, let's just see what we can do around here.
Skip loaded his rifle, then placed another round, cap, paper cartridge, and ball next to him. He drew a bead and the wobbling pole snapped in two halfway up. The top end flopped around back into the pit. Something round peeked up over the edge of the pit. Skip had smoothly reloaded and sighted before the shape reached the top of the dirt.
Here comes another one. Sounds bad in there.
I don't like it one bit. Be danged if I'm going to get the drop on us, though. Can you keep them down, Skip?
How many are there?
Well, Luke and Sweet saw four or five this morning. Probably more of them inside.
Well, I got three more shots. If they poke up, I'll get them.
Well, I'm going to town and then out to Elmer's. Sweets will stay with you a while. If you run out of bullets, slide out. I don't want nobody killed. Sweet, keep an eye out for the posse. I'm telegraphing the Rangers again and then going to get Elmer and his dynamite. We're gonna fix their little red wagon for certain.
Sure thing, Sheriff.
Everybody at the university thinks it's wonderful, Sheriff Lindley.
People in Austin would.
Well, they're sure these things are connected with Mars and those bright flashes last month. Seems something's happened in England starting about a week ago. No one's been able to get through to London for two or three days.
You telling me Mars is attacking London, England, and Pachuco City, Texas?
Well, it seems so. I even got a telegram from Percival Lowell himself.
Well, it must have been the last one that got through. The line went dead this afternoon.
Easy with that dynamite, Sheriff. Jake sold me all he had, but I didn't notice till we got back here that some of it was already sweating.
Oh, holy toads, Elmer. We ain't got time to go mile an hour out there. Let's just throw off the bad stuff.
Well, it's kind of all mixed in. I was going to set it all up on the hill and put one blasting cap in the whole load.
Oh, Jesus. You'd have blowed up your house in Pachuco City, too.
Well, I was in a hurry.
Well, can't be helped then. We'll just have to take it slow.
There is another one. Dr. Lowell said the ones in London came down 24 hours apart, regular as clockwork.
One, two, three.
They all took up
four,
counting the seconds.
Five, six, seven.
At 27, there was a roaring boom, just like the night before.
26, 27. 5.5 miles.
That puts it 8 miles from the other one.
Well, come on in. Let's get going.
There were flashes of light beyond the Atkinson place in the near dusk. The lights moved off toward the north, where the other thing had plowed in. When they reached where the first thing had sliced up the farm, Skip was gone. His giant rifle was still there. It wasn't melted, but it had been crushed, as had the 3-foot-thick tree trunk in front of it.
Homer, get me about 15 of the sweatiest sticks of dynamite you can find. And Leo, hand me that ball of tine behind you there. Okay, we'll just tie them all together like so. Now, Elmer, you better get your shotgun ready. Oh, kid, you better stay here. Ready now, Elmer? Okay, let's go! Hurry up! Get the cannon up them stairs!
He's still coming this way!
The giant machine that looked like a giant water tower with three legs had come across to the north and gone to the site of the second crash. Everybody in town saw the flash of dynamite from the Atkinson place. Then the machine had moved back toward there. It had a thing like a teacher's desk bell on top of it. As the moon rose, they saw that it had tentacles like thick wires hanging from between the three giant legs.
Hurry the hell up!
The sheriff, Elmer, and his boys made it to town just as the machine found the destruction they had caused at the first landing site. It had turned toward town and was coming at a pace of 20 miles an hour.
That heat gun comes out of the box on the front. Look out, something's down the streets caught fire.
Load that cannon, boys. Bob, some of you men make sure everybody's in the cyclone cellars, or where they won't burn anyway. Put out all the dang lights.
Hell, Sheriff, they know we're here.
Lindley hit him with his hat, then followed the cannon up to the top of the clock tower steps. Luke was cramming powder into the cannon muzzle. Other people carried cannonballs up the steps to the tower one at a time.
Well, what did you find, Sheriff, when you went back to the Atkinsons?
Well, there was some of them still working, building another one of them three-leggedy things. We threw in the dynamite and blew most of them up. We shot up what was left while they was hooting and hollering. Then we left the wagon and hightailed it back here on horses.
The courthouse was made of stone. Most of the wooden buildings in town were scorched or already afire. When the heat gun swung toward them, it blew bricks to dust, played flame over everything. The air above the whole town heated up. It looked like Pachuco City was on the outskirts of hell.
Get ready, Luke.
The machine stepped between two burning stores, its tentacles pulling out chains and kegs and heaving them this way and that.
Sweets, what you got there?
It's a curtain from one of the judge's windows. I made us a flag, see?
Come and take it. Cute, sweets, too cute. Luke, you got that cannon loaded yet?
Oh, frats, I forgot the wadding.
The sheriff took off his hat to hit Luke with, but he stopped. He looked at its beautiful felt in the mixed moonlight and firelight. The thing turned toward them. Lindley thought he saw eyes way up in the bell thing on top. Eyes like a big cat's eyes seen through a dirty window pane on a dark night.
Oh, God dang, Luke, it's my best hat. But I'll be damned if I'm gonna let them cooters burn down my town.
He stuffed the Stetson crown first into the cannon barrel. Luke shoved it in with the ramrod, threw in two 35-pound cannonballs behind it, pushed them home, and swung the barrel out over Main Street. The machine bent to tear up something.
Okay, boys. Now!
The whole north side of the courthouse bell tower flew off, and the roof collapsed. Two holes you could see the moon through appeared in the machine. One in the middle, one smashing through the dome atop it. Sheriff Lindley saw the lower cannonball come out and drop lazily toward the end of burning Main Street. Some of the tentacles on the machine shot straight up into the air. It staggered through a house. It hopped around like a crazy man on crutches until its feet got tangled in a barbed wire fence. And it went over backward. A great cloud of steam came out of it and hung in the air. The men on the other roof were jumping up and down and clapping each other on the back. No one in the courthouse tower heard a sound. They were all deaf as posts from the explosion. The barrel of the cannon was burst all along the end. First a high whine, then a dull roar, then something like normal hearing came back to the sheriff's left ear. The right one still felt like a kid had a fist stuck in there.
Dang it, sweets, how much powder did Luke use?
What?
How much powder did Luke use?
Two, maybe 2.5 cans.
Oh, it only takes half a can of ball. Dang it! Where's my hat? Oh, hell, I feel naked. Never mind. Come on, we're not through yet. We got fires to put out and some hash to settle.
In the second landing pit, it looked like a pot lid slowly boiling open. Moving just a little. Every time the end unscrewed a little more, ashes and cinders fell off it. Then it wobbled, and the whole back end rolled open like a mad bank vault and fell off. There were 184 men and 11 women, all standing behind the open end of the thing, their guns pointing toward the interior. At the exact center were Sweets and Luke with the other courthouse cannon. This time, there was one can of powder. But the barrel was filled to the end with everything from the blacksmith shop floor. Busted window glass, nails, horseshoes, bolts, stirrup buckles, and broken files and saws. Eyes appeared in the dark interior.
Remember the Alamo!
Thank you. meteor came in that evening, south of town, at 13 minutes past 6, they knew something was wrong. It wobbled in flight, lost speed, and dropped like a long, heavy leaf. They didn't have to wait for this one to cool and open. When the posse arrived, the thing was split in two and torn. Heat and steam came up from the inside.
Look, there's one of them things creeping along that gully. It looks kind of like a really thin gingerbread man, but all shiny.
It's probably hurting from the gravity.
Fix it, sweet.
Sure thing, Sheriff.
Sheriff Woodley, I've been doing some figuring. If there were 10 explosions on Mars last month and these things started landing in England last Thursday week, then we should have got the last three. There won't be any more.
You been figuring, huh?
Sure have.
Well, we'll see.
No fourth meteor fell, though they had scouts out for 20 miles in all directions, and the telegraph wires were fixed again.
Say, I saw Sweets and Luke heading toward the Atkinson place with more dynamite. What are they doing?
They're blowing up every last remnant of them things, lock, stock, and tentacle.
But the professors from the university will be here tomorrow to look at their ships and the machines. You can't destroy them.
Aw, stuff the University of Texas and the horse it rode in on. This is my jurisdiction, and if I see something gets blowed up, why, it's on its way to kingdom come. Besides, what little grass grows in this county is supposed to be green, and what's growing around them things is red. I really don't like that.
But, Sheriff, I've got to meet Professor Lowell in Waxahachie tomorrow
morning.
Listen,
Leo, I appreciate what you've done, but I'm an old man. I've been kept up by Martians for 3 nights. I lost my horse and my new hat, and they busted my favorite gargoyle off the courthouse. Now I'm going in and get some sleep, and I only want to be woke up for the second coming by Jesus Christ himself. Good night, Leo.
Leo jumped on his horse and rode for the Atkinson place. Sheriff Lindley crawled into bed and went to sleep as soon as his head hit the pillow. He had a dream. He was a king in Babylon, and he lay on a couch at the top of a ziggurat, just like the Tower of Babel in the Bible. He surveyed the city and the river. There were women all around him, and men with curly beards and golden headdresses. Occasionally, someone would feed him a great big fig from a golden bowl. His dreams were not interrupted by the sounds of dynamiting. First from one side of town, then another.
Cooters was written by Howard Waldrop. Adapted for Shockwave with permission of the author by Jerry Stearns. The story is copyright 1987. The presentation is copyright 1992 by Shockwave. Players in the story were Jerry Stearns as the Sheriff, David E. Rome as Deputy Sweets, and Ed Eastman narrated. Other voices were performed by Brian Anderson, Brian Westley, Cara Dahlke, Beth Eastman, Jerry Majeski, John Houghton, and Peg Kerr. Live sound effects by Anthony Tolan. Other effects by Alan Varney. Music by Tamita. Our thanks to MiniCon 27 for the opportunity to present this story to you.